It is so good to be with you guys this morning. I needed my GPS to get here. We hadn't met here for a while, and it is so great to see your beautiful faces and Sheldon's. And it's been quite a journey. It's been quite a journey because especially for some of us, I know a number of us are in the midst of caring for our elderly parents or someone who is very ill in our close proximity. However, for the Singh family, we've had death at our door over the recent past. Melanie's cousin just passed away a couple weeks ago. A contemporary evangelist of mine, Ron Petter, a brother with whom I walked closely as we helped to build the congregation with, of course, God leading us in Toronto. And he passed away, and that's where we were last Sunday. And then shortly afterwards, a dear friend of ours and a very close friend of Melanie, who serves in the ministry actually in Chicago, actually did a marriage retreat, a marriage online thing for us. James and Jen Becknell, if you were a part of that, you'll realize Jen just passed away. She's younger than we are. We'll be traveling there to Chicago this week to go to the funeral, and it'll be a whirlwind of a tour. So the reality, I just wanted to share with you what has been going on, not only in our lives, but it actually is a great introduction to what we're going to be talking about here today. But the reality is that there are many of us that we don't know what's happening in people's lives. People come in here on a Sunday morning and you don't know what happened earlier. We don't know what people are going through. And we want to be a refuge. We'll talk a little bit about that today. And see what God has always wanted for his kingdom. To remind you, we are at a journey that we initially thought was going to take 3 years. It's going to take a lot more than 3 years. But that's all right. And the journey is understanding God with the people, or Yahweh with the people, Jesus with the people, and the Spirit with the people, and telling God's story, and finding ourselves in God's story, and seeing ourselves as we participate in this idea of God's story. And so we journeyed and we started in Genesis. And we talked about how God created this world and he saw that everything was good. And there are some recurring lessons in the scriptures so far. And the recurring lesson is, whenever we take matters into our own hands, we get into trouble. And as resounding as an amen as I got from that, we still don't heed the lessons. We'll see that again today. One of the things that we have talked about here in this Ottawa church is that we should worship God not only with our hearts, but also with our minds. And so it's important that we understand ourselves in God's story. And so we talked about this idea that God created this wonderful world and man sinned, and that he promised on oath that he is going to reconcile himself with mankind. And he began this journey, and he chose a family. We see that God's nation using Abraham, and he made a promise to Abraham. He says, Abraham, through you, I will bless all nations. And we saw how flawed Abraham was, and it gives us hope. And One of the things that we talked about in terms of worshiping God with our minds is that there is a narrative in the scriptures. And whenever we try to make the scriptures say something that doesn't fit that narrative, run and run quickly. Because there's a lot of charlatans out there. And whenever it doesn't fit into that narrative, and the narrative is a simple one. God created a kingdom for man to be in, a perfect kingdom. People took their own way. And so the inaugural kingdom was Eden. And we see that the kingdom was consummated ultimately in the Revelation, that this kingdom where God himself will reside with man and harmony and peace and no more tears, no more death, no more pain. And I am waiting for that because I experienced in the recent past a time longing for this consummation of the kingdom of God. And within this, from Genesis to Revelation, there fits a story that God's kingdom, of which he is the king, and we sang about this morning, that this kingdom, there is a journey from Genesis to Revelation. And one of my most important responsibility is to teach the scripture so that we understand and we don't fall prey to things out there. And so we come at this point, we see that God's nation was birthed through Abraham after God used that time and he formed this incredible family. And as usual, we took matters into our own hands as we tried to do with Joseph. And ended up being in Egypt. All the people came there as God would have it, because it was the place that they could actually have food. And a nation was birthed. They left after 430 years. This nation was birthed that did not know their God. And so God had to bring them through. He says, and they made an oath, a promise oath to Abraham, I am going to give you a land. Not unlike the one that you're in. A land flowing with milk and honey. And we'll talk about what that means here in a second. And we see a recurring story in the Bible that we will do well to pay attention to it. And that is this idea. That God's nation was birthed. And then he formed a nation in the wilderness. And he shapes us, and we see that God actually does his best work in wilderness. He forms us and he shapes us in the wilderness. And he promised, he said, one day you'll be out of here. So much so, you know what Joseph said? Hey, by the way, take my bones with you when you're leaving this place. It was not until 300 years later did they leave, but he believed in God's promise. One of the stories that we understand underlying these themes and these narratives that's found in the scriptures is this idea that God fulfills his promise. Not only is he able, of which he's more than capable, but he's willing to fulfill his promises. And so herein lies this story. We see that this nation was formed. After it was birthed, it was formed in the crucible of the desert. And as usual, the people rebelled in the desert, even after they've experienced amazing things. And God says, your generation needs to die out in the desert. And only the young men and women who are 20 years or younger will be able to enter into the promised land. with a couple of exceptions. Sobering story. Where are we in this story now? So we find after this nation was formed, they're about to enter into this land that was promised to Abraham. And so the book of Deuteronomy is a book of the last year, basically, of Moses' journey. And he gives some parting shots. He gives some warnings. He gives some speeches. And he helps them to understand where they're at in their present journey and what befalls them. There's a sobering story. Moses never got to enter into the promised land. He was buried in the mountain. So we pick it up in the book of Deuteronomy. And that's the context here as we enter the next era, as we call. And if you're visiting for the first time, all these sermons are standalone sermons, but it's all part of a greater narrative, not unlike the stories of the Bible. They're all standalone stories that we can glean things from, but it's part of a great narrative. And that's what this is ultimately all about. And so we pick it up, and Alex give me specific instruction on how to do this. I tasted the sarcasm in that clap. It doesn't taste that good. So here we are in the promised land. And Moses is giving one of his speeches, and this is what he says. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach to you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them, may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. You know, one of the contexts of why, and one of the commands as the so-called Ten Commandments, is not to worship other gods except me. When God was big. See, one of the things that was very rampant were people were worshiping other deities and created gods, so to speak. And so this idea and this emphasis on remembering God, that's one of the most important commands that God gives us. I want you to remember me. Because you're going to go into a land where you're going to see people worshiping different gods. Don't be lured by it. Don't be tempted by it. Remember what has happened. And so he's giving one of his last speeches. He knows he's not going to enter the land, that he's going to die soon. And he's only going to see the land and not enter it. Man, I don't know how much I will serve if I knew I was not going to get there. Challenges my heart. Would I be willing to continue to serve God if I don't enter the promised land? Thank you. I take back all the bad things I thought about you, Dwayne. He's such a good person. Thank you, Dwayne. But this idea that he's giving them these speeches and he's helping them to understand. And then he says, and be careful to obey it so that it may go well with you, that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. This wasn't a promise made last week, hundreds of years. It's a precursor on how we ought to conduct ourselves and believing that God is able to fulfill His promises. At times, in our vantage point, not timely. And so when God says something, He will fulfill it. It's why we can believe when the Bible says you repent of your sins, you get baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and those sins will be forgiven you. Not because there's magic in the water, because that's the promise God makes. And He says, one day I will dwell with you and be with you. And so, is that me hitting this thing here? Okay, all right, great. You figured out. Awesome. Fantastic. But that's what this story is all about. The book of Deuteronomy is a book that is so important that it serves as tremendous reforms over and over again. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was battling with the devil in the desert, another battle in the desert, you know the book that he quoted from? Deuteronomy. As a matter of fact, there was a time in the scriptures, we're not going to turn there, but you can read it on your own. In 2 Kings chapter 22, it talks about a king by the name of Josiah. And Josiah became king of Israel when he was 8 years old. I'm not sure how that works. That will surely test your humility gene. Anyways, Israel was in disrepair. It was in a remarkable place where so much sin was in Israel that God was about to send them into exile. And you'll see that story over and over again. When sometimes we don't obey God to the nth degree, He says, you can't hear, you'll feel. But God, in His graciousness, because Josiah, they found what's called the Book of the Law. They were cleaning up, and they found a book called the Book of the Law that all scholars, they don't agree much, but they agree that this is the Book of Deuteronomy. And when Josiah was faced with reading the Book of Deuteronomy, he tore his robes, the Bible says. And he brought about a sense of reform to the people of Israel. They were so taken back by it that God, in His mercy and grace, delayed the exile because they relented on the way they acted. The book of Deuteronomy is a powerful book that brings about a sense of messages. And so here we are. We are at the precipice, if you would, of going into the promised land. You know, it's not unlike us. We are waiting to go into that promised land. Ron and Jennifer went ahead of us. How dare they? There's a promise. And the cancer that riddled their body. My friend Ron had cancer, battled cancer, 4 times before the age of 25. Started at age 3. You never heard him complain, ever. But we're reminded that there's a land of promise. There's a promised land that awaits us. And even as we come through the desert, and oftentimes we have to go through the desert to enter into the promised land, it's a foreshadowing of our lives that sometimes it has pain. It has challenges. It has weakness. And one of the models that we've developed in the Ottawa Church, that if you have a crisis of faith, have it with us. That we are trying not to shun you because you're having a challenging time in your faith. We got a story that someone who left the fellowship 23 years ago, we got a note that says, I'd like to come back and be restored to God. That's encouraging. That's encouraging to the soul. And so it's really important that we see ourselves in this story as Moses, but he gives us some warnings. And so we will begin or continue our sermon with the next chapter. And I'm going to have the most beautiful maiden of them all, Melanie Singh, is going to help us read the scripture. And so one of the things that we've tried to do here in the Ottawa Church is not to spoon feed you by putting the scriptures up there. We'll put the scripture reference, but I want you to follow in so that you're immersing yourself in the scriptures. Okay? And so I would strongly encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. If you don't have one with you, turn to someone beside you and share with them. And if they don't share with you, take it from them. Melanie's going to read the first scripture. We talk about this book of Deuteronomy and these warnings, these speeches that Moses gives.
Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, his commandments always. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh the king of Egypt and to the whole country, what he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. It was not your children who saw what he did for you in the wilderness until you arrived at this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab and the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done.
Thank you. One of the things that this scripture reminds us of, what Moses is saying to them, he says, you need to rediscover the presence of God. And he says, what I'm talking to you about today is not about some fabled stories. You experience this. You experience what God did. What God did when he led the Israelites, your people, out of Egypt. You saw the 10 plagues. You saw manna raining from heaven. You experienced water gushing from rocks. You experienced that you didn't need new sandals. That actually, as you were in the desert, the sandals stretched so that your feet will not outgrow the sandals. You experienced it, and he's reminding them and he's telling them, remember what God did with you, not just a story. And so the challenge for us this morning is to remember the ways that God was very active and present in your life. There are times we have short memories. And we remember the days, perhaps, when we were baptized into Christ. And we remember that our sins were forgiven and the promise of heaven awaits us. We remember answered prayers. This week, that story that I told you about that person has been prayed for repeatedly. And at this moment in time, we didn't think, because he was talking about different gods and how much he hates the God of the Bible. And how much he hates the church. And then we get a note that says, I want to get my life right with God. He went to the funeral. An answered prayer that seemed crazy at the time. I'm putting him on blast this morning. This guy, Craig Whitman, drove up from Toronto to meet with me for an hour to talk about his spiritual life. I went back home. I said, you know there's something called a phone, right? We even have pictures on the phone now. It's called Zoom. He says, this is too important for me. And then he says, I said, you know, we have a fellowship there in the Toronto area. He said, no, I want to come this Sunday. So he drove up again last night. Slept in the driveway of our yard. No, I'm only kidding. When answered prayers are becoming a reality, do you remember? And as we were sitting there and as Craig was talking about his life, tears were flowing from his eyes. Moses wanted them to understand. He says, I want you to remember and rediscover the presence of God. What have your eyes seen? What have your heart experienced? And oftentimes what happens, there's some wilderness experience that beats our faith, that challenges it. And Christianity, especially in this society, becomes a spectator sport. It's one of the reasons I don't want us to just look at the screen and look at the scriptures. Bring your Bible with you. Because it's a spectator sport. It's not something that we participate in. It's a Sunday morning event and then we experience. But the reformer was saying, and can you imagine Josiah? Because this place was in ruins. And he's saying to himself as he reads this book, a land flowing with milk and honey? What are you talking about? This is not what I see. This is not what I experience. But you can recall. You can recall. And what life experience does to you and what it does to me. I remember going through a tough time in my life. I wondered Did I waste giving my life to God in this way? Look where I am. I thought if I seek first the kingdom, he will take care of the rest. And sweet nothings were being whispered in my ear. And all of us, at some time, go through experiences that battles our faith. And the challenge that Moses was giving these guys is to remember the experience, not that other people experienced, that you experienced. How can you rediscover the presence of God in your life? What do you need to do? We've tried to create an environment, I don't know how well, where that is a reality in the way that we experience God. And notice I use that word intentionally. We experience God. That's something that's really, really important for us to understand. Next, we're going to have Laura come on up. And she's going to help us with the reading of God's word today. We'll continue in this book of Deuteronomy. If Jesus, it was good for Josiah and Jesus, the two J's, it's good for us.
Observe, therefore, all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land the Lord swore to your ancestors to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is the land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied.
Thank you. Thank you for powerfully reading the scriptures. I don't know if before you used to read the scriptures and said, let me just go through it here. But I want to do some time travel with you. That's the idea here. And here we are. They're about to enter the land promised to them. And Moses is reminding them. And he says, look at the contrast in the God that we serve. When you were in Egypt, you lived in the desert. Man, for you to be able to fertile, make that soil fertile, you know what you had to do, remember, right? You remember how you had to do it by foot and create irrigation. He says, this land you're entering? This land? God himself waters it. God himself has created the irrigation for what this land is all about. It's the land with milk and honey. And can you imagine the contrast in their mind? Desert, not knowing where water is going to come from, to lush gardening. The rains from heaven, God himself waters this land. You have to try to mess it up. And God gives, he says, he reminds them. And he emails them to imagine the promise of a well-watered land after spending 40 years in the desert. Okay, can I share with you guys? So there's a favorite West Indian restaurant in Toronto. I'm going to give him a plug. Albert's Jamaican Food. Here's, I don't know if it's a confession or what, but I'm just going to share it. There are times Melanie and I, when we live in Chicago, flew from Chicago, or sometimes we drove from Chicago. We will fly straight into the airport or we'll drive straight to the restaurant. Just before, as we were anticipating crossing the border, our mouths were watering. When you haven't had it for a while, and they have fake ones in Chicago. I'm a big time fake. My point is, when you haven't had something for a while, and then you have it, you're just amazed. And that was the contrast here. And a lot of times what happens when someone comes into the kingdom of God, the taste, people are actually like this. There's one time I was studying the Bible with a young man, and he came in and he said, "Ah, you guys just changed the sermon to meet my needs." And this was in Toronto when there were like 1,000 people there. I said, "I want you to think about your statement for a second. You think that every 1,000 person in this room concocted a plan so that you could actually, you think that's what happened here?" The arrogance of some people. But this idea that they needed to rediscover the mission that God had given them. God says, you're going to have a land, and you're going to have it to work with, and you're going to have abundance, and I'm going to supply all you need. And have an impact in the community where you're going to be. Because this land was a place that was riddled with false gods. Joshua himself had to fight 31 battles to conquer the land. Because there were gods and false gods and so-called gods. And they needed to nourish the land. You know, God calls us to the same mission, that for us to have an influence on the places that we dwell. The land will produce fruit if we don't get in the way. I don't know if I'm just making this up or if this is a narrative that sounds good to me. I hope it's not. I hope I am not swayed by this. Last week, got a call. "Hey, we've been joining your services online, and we would like to be part of the Ottawa community." By the way, we live in Thunder Bay. There are people that come out here and says, "I found a home. Craig drives 4 hours to come worship." We think that's nuts. We think it's nuts to drive half an hour. There are people this morning that are not with God's people because they're tired. Listen, I'm all for resting when you need to rest. But this idea that God says, you don't know what's going on with that person that came here today that you haven't seen before. You don't know. this may be the land that they're looking for. And so the question that I have for you, church, how can we make this a milk and honey place? Amen. Not the milk and honey place, a milk and honey place. Yeah. The talks about arrogance. Yeah. A talking about being a conduit of God's. How are you doing with the places that you're influencing? This, for sure, was rediscovering the mission. And can you imagine? Can you imagine what Josiah? Can you imagine what Josiah felt when he read this and he says, this is what we're supposed to be? This is not what it looks like. What? He tore his robes. Did I go too fast there? 8 to 15. I think we missed one. There should be another one. Did we miss that one? There's one called Rediscovering. Did we not get that one? Let me see here. Huh. Where did that one go? Did something? Okay, well, it's okay. We can do it, even if we don't have it on our plan. But I'm gonna have Granville come on up. Granville, why are you guys cutting Granville out? This is not right. Granville is gonna read Deuteronomy 11, verse 16-21.
Be careful. It's on?
Yeah.
Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut up the heavens, that it will not rain on the land, and will yield produce. And you will soon perish from the good land the Lord has given you. Fix these words of mine on your hearts and on your minds, and tie them as symbols around your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord Lord has swore to give your ancestors, many as the days that the heavens are above the earth.
Thank you. We should have him read scripture every week. Rediscovering the holiness of God. The warning that Moses gave. Be careful. Be careful. There will be a temptation that is incredibly powerful. There will be an enticement that will be hard to resist. You're going into a place where you're going to see things we live in a and every generation could say this we live in a time where worshiping God and embracing God's word is often frowned upon. As a matter of fact, we try to rewrite it often. That's called taking matters into your own hands. Yeah. If someone got their theology from TikTok, we'd be in some serious trouble. But before we laugh so hard, do you? This remote worship of God. You know what's become an epidemic now? Megachurch pastors falling into sin because they have no accountability in their life. About 10 in the last 2 months. If you're not that in that world, don't worry about it. But it's a reality. People don't know these. You think you know them. You watch on a screen. Oh, I know them. He's got a nice jacket on. His hair seems to be combed. He can be trusted. Listen, if you live in an environment that you know, you don't know the person that is presenting the Word of God to you, be weary. Holiness is a long art lost. And hear me well. If we are trying to blend in, if we're still not trying to be distinct, then we will become extinct. There are places and there are people that betray the Word of God because they can. And Moses is warning them. He says, can I talk to you? Can you imagine how Josiah must have felt when he saw all the gods? You know, you should read the story. You know what he did? He broke down all the idols. He went on a rampage. And he said, this has come to God's people. Embarrassingly, a lot of people now are identified by the politics they have and not by the God that they serve. And a lot of people post more about their politics than they do about their God. And the enticement that Moses warned about, that Jesus saw when he got on this earth and when this book of Deuteronomy was in the 40th year in the desert as Moses was about to go the way of death. He was undoubtedly asking the question, are we different? Our media consumption takes a toll on our purity and our relationships. Listen, we live in a world, we got to use them to the best of our ability. But let's not be enticed away. Let me ask you a question. Do you fear God? No, we got to have a balance, right? Of course, God is merciful and gracious, but the Bible, that's what Moses said. You got to obey him, or else curses will come your way. I set before you. And so, as we close this sermon, I'm going to have Karen come on up and read this section of Scripture. We talked about rediscovering the presence of God. We talked about rediscovering the mission of God. And we talked about rediscovering the holiness of God. That it's got to become. We can't be afraid to be distinct. Not for the sake, by the way, before as she gets prepared. We got to be careful our righteousness does not lead to self-righteousness. Oh, yeah. we're so different, and become self-righteous. Mm-hmm. It's not a good look. And sometimes we disguise it as conviction. When we rediscover the holiness of God, it is honey. It's not vinegar. And yet there's the tension of how do we create a holiness of God that is distinct, mm-hmm. but not arrogant. Mm-hmm. You know who showed us that? There's a guy by the name of Jesus. He was pretty good at it. Anyways, let's close with this scripture.
If you carefully observe all these commands I'm giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as he promised you, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse.
You know, maybe at some parts of the sermon today, you're saying, what has gotten over him? Who in the world is he to tell me this? Moses says, what I'm saying today, for some of you, it's going to be a blessing. You know what the Bible says? An enemy multiplies kisses, but wounds from a friend can be trusted. Today, these warnings. Josiah tore his robe in repentance and became a blessing for the people of Israel. As they're about to enter into this land that was established, we're going to spend the next 3 weeks talking about their time in this land. By the way, we can't do justice to all that is being done, but I just wanted to take a snapshot today of Deuteronomy that was so important for Josiah, it was so important for Jesus. I think it'd be good, important for us too. What do you think? Yeah. And so Jesus says, so the scripture says, Moses gave these speeches and he laid before them. You know, maybe sometimes today, even today, something said was said at you. Say, is he jabbing at me? No, I'm not. I have no desire to jab. You have the power to make it a blessing. You do? How? With a humble and repentant heart when you hear the word of God. And you talk about, man, I need to rediscover the presence of God. Maybe that's not it. Maybe you need to rediscover the mission that God has given you. Maybe you need to rediscover the holiness of God. I ask you today, will you rediscover the presence, holiness, and mission of God? Is one of them that you need to focus on? And that was what Moses was telling these people in this journey as they're about to enter the promised land. He says, think about this. He says, I'm going to die soon. I don't have much longer with you. Can I leave you with some thoughts? And that's where we are in the story. And like we've talked about before, there are stories within the story. And so one of the greatest blessings we have, of course, is remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. You know what the Bible says to some? That is the stench of death. To others, it's the aroma of life. That's a blessing and curse thing. As we're about to take the communion, I'm going to ask J.K. to come on up and give thanks for the body and blood of Christ. And to remember this incredible blessing, and let it be a blessing for us as we give thanks for the body and blood of Christ. If you do not have your communion, please go ahead and raise your hand, and the ushers will come around, and they will give it to you. So at this time, our dear sister, J.K. will help us as we focus on the most important event in all of history, even more important than enter into the promised land.
Lord God, as we come to you in prayer, we recognize you as the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We say thank you, God, for just giving us your body to reflect on the sacrifice that you made for us, God. We receive your sacrifice because it means life for us. It means relationship with you. And God, we recognize that through your sacrifice, we can come to this land flowing with milk and honey. We can take the promises that you have made to us and remind ourselves of the promises that you have made to us. And God, we can hold fast to those in our times of trouble, in our times of struggle, and in our times in the wilderness, God. Thank you for being faithful to us. And we receive your body and blood in thanksgiving in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.